Well, today is what? January 11th, am I right? 11 days in prayer and fasting. I hope you folks are praying and fasting. We always start the year off to 21 days in January. If you haven't started, better late than never. Amen? But there's something about prayer and fasting. You know, I'm just going to go real briefly. Remember about the demon-possessed boys, disciples? How come we couldn't get this? Because they cast out so much demons before. But Jesus says, this kind can only come out with prayer and fasting. I think this speaks in our life, even in my life, that requires prayer and fasting. Amen? Amen? So I'll end it with that. So again, this is 11 days. We're going to end on January 21st. So if you haven't started, but please, you're going to see the hand of God move. And it's not just because we're praying and fasting. It's because we are deciding. We are making that commitment to do that. Amen? So this morning, my title, and when you look at this title, what I said, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious now, okay? Because my title is Why the Spirit, or Why the Holy Spirit Inside of You and Me is Better Than Jesus Beside You. Like, huh, how can you say that, Pastor Darren? You know, we all would have loved being next to Jesus. Amen. Just when we read his word, it's just so. But let me just share a little brief summary of where I'm going at right now and what's happening at Jesus at this time. It's just a few days prior to his crucifixion. And this is from the book of John, between chapters 13 and 17. And at this time, he is in the upper room with his disciples. So it's a very intimate setting. You know, him and his disciples. And this is where he begins to tell his disciples that I'm going to be betrayed, and foretells Peter's denial. And also, this is where they have the Last Supper. So I just want you to picture what's happening right now, you know. And this is where He tells them some of his teachings. One of it was he washes the disciples' feet. And this is not in any order. He washes the disciples' feet. Another one is where he says that, Jesus, I am the way to the Father. And also he says, I am the true vine. You are the branches. And that the branches cannot bear fruit unless it's with the vine, the true vine. So these are all these things that Jesus is telling his disciples. And then at the very end, towards chapter 15, he tells them, and I mentioned to one of the, James, who's one of the brothers who go out to Waikiki, he got yelled at. Where I say, this script, he tells his disciples, the world is going to hate you. So they say, oh, he says, why? Because they hated me first. And he ends chapter 15 telling them that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. So this is all going on in the upper room. And then all of a sudden, he says that this Holy Spirit is going to be, I'm sending him from the Father. And then listen to this next bomb that Jesus drops on his disciples. Their minds must have just exploded. See, he's talking about all these things that you got to be with me or in me to be fruitful. So all this be present. But this is what he says. This is, my Bible text is from John chapter 16, verses 17 to 18. And the key text, and this is a scripture, is John 16, 7. And this is what he says. He says, but in fact, it is better for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I don't go away, then I will send him to you. Amen. You know, before I even continue, let me just open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this message that you have placed on my heart, Lord, to let us know how important your comforter is to each and every one of us, Lord. That that why your son said, it's immediately I need to leave, Lord, to his disciples, that if not, the Comforter will not be able to come. Allow today, to, as I share the reasons and the scriptures, to begin to just permeate to each and every one of us, knowing the importance of the Holy Spirit. We just thank you. I give you praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. We all said amen. Amen. So Jesus says, he wants, this is the best for you. And if Jesus is saying that he wants the best, how many know he wants the best? So you can imagine what these guys are thinking. What is this? But he says, it's best that I go away. Can you imagine? They're in this intimate setting with Jesus in the upper room. And always say, the best for you. And he's seen them with all the miracles and everything. If I go away. You can see the little things going in their heads. Like, what do you mean? He said, then if I don't go away, I can't send him to you. So, in other words, Jesus is telling them that his physical absence allows the Spirit's constant presence. Amen. And I truly believe that is so, so important. That was the reason. Just think about it. How important this Holy Spirit is to dwell in us. That's why I came up with that title, because it's, he said, this is the best. So if Jesus is better for you that I leave, that means he's saying that the Holy Spirit in us is better than Jesus beside us. And I'll go on throughout this message, tell you all the different points why that is. Amen. And this is the one point he gives right after that in verse 8 to 11. He says, and when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. And listen to the scripture. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father. What does that mean? Righteousness is available to each and every one of us because I go to the Father. What that means is he went to the cross for us, for that righteousness to be available for us. He went to the cross, died, and rose again. So that righteousness is available because he goes to the Father. And then he goes, tells him, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. Amen. So right off the bat, Jesus gives them three things that the Holy Spirit is here to convict the world. Convict the world of sin. Convict the world of what righteousness really is. Because the world's righteousness isn't the same righteousness as God's righteousness. And judgment. And that judgment is letting us know that the enemy, Satan, has already been defeated and judged. And he continues to convict us, to let us know that as we continue to walk this walk on this earth. And those three things are so important. Those first three things. Let me share some more of these mind-blowing conversations that Jesus is having with his disciples. He goes on to say, and listen to what he says now. And this is truly, he's telling them what the reason why he has to go. Because you can imagine Jesus must have been just a wealth of so much knowledge and power. He says in the very next verse 12, he says, there is so much more that I want to tell you, but you can't bear it all now. He had so much that he wanted to share with his disciples, but he didn't have enough time. He says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And that's one thing about the Holy Spirit. He'll never guide you in a lie. He's always there to glorify God and his Son. So the Holy Spirit never speaks negative. It's always positive. It's always to glorify the Father and the Son. So that's one thing that we can truly take to the bank, that the Holy Spirit is there for us, and he's never against us. Amen. And he says, he will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future, And this is, I have to highlight this scripture. He will bring me glory. The Holy Spirit brings Jesus glory by telling you and I whatever he receives from me. That's why Jesus was so, it's immediate, intimate that I gotta go. Because he knew how important this Holy Spirit was for us. And he says that he will bring him glory when he tells us the things that he wants us to hear. Amen. We just got to have ears to hear what the Spirit is telling us. Because a lot of times, and I'm speaking for myself too, the Spirit is speaking, but there's so much distractions, there's so much things going on that the airways of the Spirit communication is being static. It's like a radio. When you fine-tune the radio to get to that perfect station, we got to fine-tune to the Holy Spirit to get to hear what he is. Because he's always speaking to us. We, as human beings, decide sometimes what we want to hear and what we don't want to hear. And a lot of times, the things that we don't want to hear are the things that he wants us to hear. Amen? So, how do we fine-tune? Prayer and fasting is a great way of doing it. Praying, we have Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday prayer. Reading God's word. This is how we fine-tune, begin to listen. Because he speaks to us through his word. Because his word is a living word. And the Holy Spirit makes that word come alive, amen? So those are the ways that we get to fine-tune. And you're going to, as we fine-tune, you're going to get to hear the communication lines become a little clearer. Amen. But we need to start fine-tuning. And then he goes to say, in a little while, you won't see me anymore. So they're thinking, what? In a little while, you won't see. Because they're not really into his crucifixion yet. So he said, in a little while, you may not see me anymore. But a little while after that, you won't see me again. So you can kind of see the confusion on the disciples. And some of the disciples asked each other, what does he mean? When he says, in a little while, you won't see me. But then you will see me, and I'm going to the Father. And what does that mean, a little while? And this is what they say. These are the disciples now. We don't understand. We don't understand. So he's telling, in a little while, you won't see me. His absence, why? Because he's going to go to the cross for each and every one. He's going to get crucified, buried. So that's a little while of his absence when he goes to the cross. But then he says, in a little while, you'll see me again. And we know that if you read the Gospels, after his crucifixion, he came back for 40 days, if I'm not mistaken, the amount of time, and dwelt among them. So that's what he's saying. And the same thing he's saying is that the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit residing in each and every one of us. So that's one of the points of those things that why the Holy Spirit was sent. And this is one of the key reasons. And I had this on my thing. And on Saturday morning when Pastor Jake was leading prayer, he said this very same thing. I said, thank you, Lord, for the confirmation. Because he said that this is it. Here's one of the main reasons why Jesus needed to leave this earth for the Holy Spirit to come. And I think this is to me, I'm going to start, this is my first, but I'm going to start with a very important point. Every other point is important, but I'll end with another really important point. And this is the first one. He said, the Holy Spirit had to come to make God real to us. I thought that was really profound. I said, Lord, thank you for sharing that. Because I thought that was most of making God real to us. And let me share scriptures, a few scriptures. And these scriptures, as you see them on the board, I didn't want our computer guy to be inundated with a lot of PowerPoint. So I got the scriptures. You can find this PowerPoint when you go online into our app. And all these points, the points I have are all in red, the scriptures are red. Go look at those scriptures. I'm going to read them not today, but go look at those scriptures later on. There's some powerful scriptures of the importance. So I know It's going to be on the app, so if you don't have to take pictures, but if you want, you can. But this, listen to the scripture. 2 Corinthians 2:10-12. It says, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. I'm just getting chickens. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Remember that thing, the deep things of God. I don't know what those things are, but the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Again, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world. Because the world's going to tell you things that might kind of seem like it's coming from God, but it's not. The spirit of the world knows how to just tweak things just a little bit to make it sound like a truth. It's like a 99% truth, but it's a 100% lie. Amen? So it says here, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. So we have the Spirit from God so that we may understand what God has freely given to us. So that's the reason why a lot of times we don't understand what God has for us. It's because our spirit is not bearing witness with his spirit. Maybe our worldly spirit is trying to bear witness with his Holy Spirit, but it doesn't match. It's like trying to tune into an FM station. You're on the AM station. It's never going to happen. So how awesome is that to know God is real, to know the deep things of God? That's why Jesus said, I got to get out of here because I need the Holy Spirit in these people. Because why? The Holy Spirit only speaks to us from them, and them is Jesus and the Father. What better friend to have? We all have friends, and we all get advice from friends, but there's sometimes some of the advice we get from them are not always godly advice. But I can guarantee you one thing, when we get advice from the Holy Spirit, it's only from God and Jesus, amen? It's from nobody else, and that's such a great point to have. So let me point out some other key points. I got about 12 points. I'm going to go through this real fast. Every time I make a point, I'm going to give you scripture. So today, my message is a little different. I'm just sharing scripture with you. So what better way to give a message is just give God's word? Because you know what I'm saying is going to be all truth. Amen? So the first thing that the Holy Spirit, one of his key roles for us, and he renews our life. And I think everyone who is here who has born again, who accepted Jesus Christ, knows what I'm talking about. Because I can look back at my life and my life here, darkness, light. He renews our life. He brings us out of the darkness into this marvelous light. And he gives us this spiritual rebirth and this new life when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. And at the end of this, my message, I'll give you an opportunity. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and if you want God's Holy Spirit to dwell in you, all you got to say is, yes, Lord, come into my life. You just got to, that first step you take, asking Jesus Christ to come in as your Lord and Savior. You can't. I'm not going to go there. Titus, let me share this scripture. Titus 3, 5, and 7. This is such a great scripture. He says, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done. Can you imagine if we were saved because of the righteous thing we have done? We'd all be going to a devil's hell. Amen. But thank God for mercy and grace. Righteous we have done. But because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth. Or in other words, being born again. And renewal by the Holy Spirit. So the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously to Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Amen. So this this passage emphasizes that salvation is this complete work of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That it transforms us. It transforms us from spiritual death to spiritual life. Amen. And I like how the scripture ends. We become heirs of eternal life. That's one thing that why we're here on the earth is we want to be heirs of eternal life. Because we're all one day going to pass this earth. Where we're going to go, there's only two places. I'm not even going to get to that. But there's only two places. But we want to be heirs of eternal life in heaven. Because there can be eternal life in hell too. But we want to be eternal life in God's house. Amen. Because he has prepared, the Bible says he prepared mansions for us. So each and every one of us here, where we are heirs to eternal life, we have a mansion waiting for us. Amen. And I know my mansion is going to have a swimming pool and everything in there. It's going to have treadmills and a nice gym and everything so I can... Well, we're going to be fit. We don't need to worry about that. But anyway, getting off the point. But another important salvation scripture. This is another really great scripture. This is come from John chapter 3. This is just before John 3:16, verses 3 and 5. It says, Jesus answered... And I want to listen to one word he keeps on saying. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he goes on again to say, but very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. The Holy Spirit now resides in each and every one of us. Amen. See, and he says, truly, truly. He's really emphasizing that, how important, when it comes to our salvation, how important the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Because it says, if we're not born again, now I'm not saying it because of what I'm saying what God said. If you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. I don't care what church you're going to, what you believe, if you're not born again, this is what the word says. So I'm only speaking God's word. You cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. And this Holy Spirit that lives in us, this is what it's called, is indwelling. I wanted to make sure, so I got to do research too. And I said, this indwelling of the Holy Spirit is when the Spirit takes permanent residence in us. Amen. And that's happened when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We become born again. And that's why that Spirit has permanent residence in us. And that's why it's so important that we have the Spirit. Because he said, if we don't have that Spirit, we can't see the kingdom of God. So that indwelling of the Holy Spirit is so, so important when we become born again. And he's just letting us know that the importance of that. And this is what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. He says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God. I like what he says. You're controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God. Because some of us have spirits, but it's not of God. Amen? And I can attest to you what those spirits are a lot of times. Because these spirits controlled me before. Spirit of drugs, spirit of alcohol, lying, deceit. I mean, there's so many of these spirits out there. But it says the Spirit of God living in you. And it says, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. Those are kind of strong words in the Bible, but the Bible wants us to know how important it is for the Holy Spirit. That's why he's so to the point. He says, if you don't have this, you don't belong to me. That's like, whoa, all right. So that's why it's so important. That's why Jesus, again, he knew how important this Holy Spirit was. And again, there's another scripture I just love. It assures us of our salvation. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And it says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed. There's another thing that the Holy Spirit, he has this sealing upon us. He seals us. It's like something, when he seals something, it's like, it's stamp of approval. We're sealed. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when God seals us, he's, that seal is like, all the promises in my word is yours. I'm sealing it right now. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance that he's promised. Because God is not a man that he should lie. So every promise in the book is ours. Every promise. Amen? And that's what he's telling us. And that we are purchased to be his, as the song was going. We are made by him. We are created for him. And that's why the Holy Spirit was created to dwell in each and every one of us. Amen? And another one, Pastor John kind of touched on this last week when he was talking about being a helper, being an advocate. He's a helper and a comforter. And we all can attest how the Holy Spirit has comforted us in times of sorrow. But it's more than just that. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. You know, right now we're in our time of prayer with this prayer and fasting, Tuesday nights at 7, Thursday nights at 7, Saturday nights at 7 a.m. This time I'm praying and I'm not knowing what to pray for. And all of a sudden, I just start praying the heavenly language. And how many of you know that Satan likes to hear your prayers? Because we might be here praying to God. How many know 100%? Well, as we're praying, Satan is hearing every word we're saying. That's a fact. But when you pray in the heavenly language that only God knows. That's why the Holy Spirit intercedes. When we don't know what to pray for, he intercedes on our behalf with groaning in others that we don't know. Because there's times that we don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit does. So just as the Holy Spirit does for us to his Father, we should do the same. Because the Bible talks about Ephesians 5:1. We need to be imitators. It says, be imitators of God as beloved children. So if the Holy Spirit is giving groaning and utterance to the Father that we not know, how much more important that we begin to speak in the heavenly language? I'm going to attest to this because before I never used to speak in tongues. You know, I thought it was just mumbo jumbo. But I come to find that it's not no mumbo jumbo. I've had major breakthrough out of the what I'm praying as I pray in the heavenly language. But God has showed favor. He has opened doors. He has even closed doors that needed to be closed that I refused not to close. But he ended up closing those doors. And I truly believe is what I'm praying in the heavenly language. I don't know what it is, but he knows. And I can see the fruit from that. So I'm a believer when it comes to speaking in heavenly language, or in other words, speaking in tongues. And I know other people have different things about that, but I'm just saying this is my opinion and of what God's word says. Amen? So it's so good that the Spirit, what can I say? He's an encourager. The Spirit encourages us. Amen? And the way he does that is, let me read what it says in Acts 9, verse 31. It says, the church then had peace through all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. And it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. That's very, very important. If you guys are with us, our last Bible study that we had, it was the fear, two Bible studies ago, was John Bevere's The Fear of the Lord. You got to give that book and read it. The fear of the Lord is so important, and it's making that point here right now. So it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. It also grew in numbers. So just like the church, we are the church, actually. We can experience that peace through the Holy Spirit. We can experience this stronger spirituality. I notice when the Spirit comes upon me, I feel stronger in my spirit. And what would it mean to fear the Lord, to fear God? Is to have awe, respect for God. It's not being afraid of God. I'm not saying to be afraid of God. But it's so important because, you know, as I was saying earlier, when we have this encouragement and we begin to pass it on to others, that's what the gospel is. That's what God's love is all about. When we are encouraged, we are to encourage others. That's what the Bible says, to pray for another, lift up one another, or in other words, encourage one another, that they may be healed, for the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous availeth much. So encouragement has a big part of our lives and how we touch other people. Amen. And another point, I'm just going to go through these points. Like I said, I have about 12 points. He's a guide and a teacher. Guide and a teacher. He guides us as Jesus was saying, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit has so many names. He's called Comforter, Helper, Spirit of Truth. Just there's so many names, but here it's saying that as He is the Spirit of Truth, He will help us understand God's Word. I was saying earlier how the Word comes alive. And a lot of us can attest to that as we begin, because we all have read the Bible and just read the Bible. And, it's okay, I read the whole Bible, it's great. But there's times that we read the same word and that word began to come alive, began to bubble up in our soul. It's because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, begins to allow that word to just permeate, that word to come out and listen to what God wants us to hear. It's so many times that I'm reading God's word and I just, it's so funny. Sometimes I'm reading His word and I get a picture of mine as I'm there. He like gives me visual pictures of what's going on and how He's helping me. But I truly believe that's the Holy Spirit guiding and teaching me when I'm getting into His word. Amen. And this is the scripture that's up there. It says John 16:13. He says, He gives strength and wisdom to live the Christian life, guiding us to overcome sin and live righteously. Those are two of the three points that he told the Holy Spirit in the beginning. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. That you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Amen. That's how important the Holy Spirit, because we all have these cravings that the enemy knows what we struggle with. But the Holy Spirit, as we allow the Holy Spirit, we're going to be able to slowly begin to overcome those things. Amen. But it says, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Because why? The Holy Spirit in us, in you. His word becomes alive. Amen. And another thing that it does, it produces fruits and gifts. Each and every one of us has things in our lives that God has created us. Amen. And what He wants is to have a Christ-like character, love, joy, peace. And He distributes these gifts to each and every one of us, not so much for our good, but to strengthen the church. Amen. That's why we have this love, peace. It's great to have it, but what He wants us to do, He wants us to share the love, the peace, the joy. And this is what it says in Galatians 5:22-23. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. What does that mean? There is no law against these things. I want you to think about this. The law, when you think of law, because I was a law enforcement officer before, there's laws. But But the law, what it does, the laws limit you, the laws restrain you, the laws prohibit you, and the laws can later on arrest you. But that's what the law, but this law, there is no law against it. There is no law when it comes to love. That's God's perfect law, amen? So all these gifting, love, joy, peace, no law has control over these things because it's God's law. And that's the stuff that he gives us. It's so great. And we have this fruit in us to strengthen and advance his kingdom, amen? And another spiritual gift he gives us is wisdom, healing, and all these others. I'll read it to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 11. And listen to this. Now, to each one, the manifestation, or in other words, the evidence or display of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given to the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. There's only one Spirit. You got to remember that. Now, if anyone tells you there's more than one Spirit, that other Spirit is the spirit of the enemy. There's only one Holy Spirit. And to another, faith by another Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by one other Spirit, but by one Spirit. And to another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To others, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, as I was talking about earlier. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. That's very important too. All these are the works of one and the same Spirit. Amen. And he distributes them to each one of us. But this is the kicker. Just as he determines. He knows just how much we can handle. Amen. Sometimes we want everything, but we can't control all of that. But just as he determines, the Holy Spirit produces these fruits and gifts by planting them in our hearts, transforming us from the inside out. Jesus working on the inside. He's working on our insides. And praise God, what comes out on the outside is a reflection of what we allow to come in, as we were talking about earlier. We're in the book of Nehemiah. I strongly tell you, read that book of Nehemiah, because we're talking about gates. What we allow in an eye gate, an ear gate, allows what comes out of our mouth gate. Amen. So these are the things that are transformed from the inside out. It's time to clean up that pilikia all on the inside, or that's Hawaiian for rubbish. We all carry, Lord, take that back. I don't like to say we all. That's not true. Some of us carry a lot of baggage and rubbish within us that we need to take out. And one way, by the Holy Spirit transforming from the inside out. Amen. And as we yield to his guidance, to, again, like I said, to prayer, to reading his word, to fellowship. Fellowship is another very important thing that allows us to get strong. Fellowship, we become more like Christ. Amen? And this one, I was talking to Lily. She was our worship leader today. The Spirit brings upon unity in worship. Amen? He unites the believers to Christ and the church. The church is each and every one of us, and empowers us to worship God. And we got a taste of that today. He empowered. We have this past Tuesday night, Thursday night, Saturday, we had some powerful unity in worship. And we don't need a whole band behind us. We just had a guitar we're all just lifting up Jesus. And the power of unity in worship was so powerful. And this is what it says in Ephesians 5, 18 to 21. It says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As what we were doing earlier, as we came up right after worship. We're just giving thanks, most of us. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Amen. In the fear of God. The Holy Spirit, when it comes to worship, if you're worshiping in the Spirit, you can just feel the unity coming. Because you can, I've been into huge churches, and this is not recently, it was a while back, powerful worship, but I don't feel the move of God. I truly believe when you're worshiping in the Spirit, I'm not saying speaking in tongues, but worshiping in the Spirit, there's a difference when you worship in Spirit and you're worshiping in the flesh just to be up there and performing. A great performance. They're giving great performance, but there's a difference. Amen. So we're getting to feel that now as we're coming into unity with the Holy Spirit when it comes to our worship. Amen. And also, worship, when we worship God, we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So true worship, and true worship, and Robert can attest to this, is spirit-led. If it's not spirit-led, it's just a song. But when worship is spirit-led, we're connecting with the Father when it's spirit-led, because His Spirit is bearing again with our spirit through worship. And that when anything is spirit, even like I said, reading His Word, when it's spirit-led, we're connecting with Him. The Word comes alive, amen? It becomes a deep relationship when we into that type of spirit-led. And it said, and it not only that, it empowers us. Amen? So this is what it says in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. It says, but the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now. Right now as I'm speaking. That's what God's word says. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. For God is a spirit. So those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. There is no other way that we can worship God. We can have the best voice. We can be the most talented. But if we're not worshiping in spirit and in truth, we're just singing regular songs. Amen. There's a difference. You can sing Amazing Grace one way, but then you can sing Amazing Grace a whole other way when it's spirit-led. Amen. So that's how important the Holy Spirit is. And I'm slowly coming to, I got a few more. This one is for all those in Waikiki, for I see James here and Diane. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be a witness. You know, prior to me really being empowered by the Holy Spirit, I was a police officer. For the longest time as a police, I was going to church. But I truly really felt that I wasn't really empowered by the Spirit. You know, I come to church, I'm singing, I'm giving my offering, I'm doing nothing wrong, but I wasn't empowered. But later on, towards the middle part of my career, when I became empowered by His Spirit, I was not even afraid to share the gospel when I'm arresting somebody. Like, what a time to share the gospel. You're arresting somebody, you know? But I tell you, I saw the hand of God come upon these people, and I dealt with crazy, crazy people. And when the hand of God comes on them from a crazy person, they come into a little baby. And that's not me. That's the Spirit of God that empowers for me to be a witness. And that witness, I can just talk about that. But I don't want to, I can take another hour just talking about that. But He empowers us for witness. And James can attest to that. I asked him one day, hey, have you ever thought you would be up there just preaching to strangers up in Waikiki on the sidewalk as hundreds of people walk by? No. You know, but I told you it's because the Holy Spirit empowers you to be a witness. And this is what He says in Acts 1:8. He says, but you receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I told them, that's what you guys are. You guys are preaching to the ends of the earth, because there's almost so many nations represented in Waikiki. I remember one time they showed me a video where this person was in Africa, in the daytime worshiping, and they were praising in the nighttime here. So yeah, two different time zones going, but we were all worshiping the same God. Amen. I thought that was so powerful. But he empowers us to be a witness. And I think this is one of the most powerful things. Not, they're all powerful. Don't get me wrong when I say the most. They're all powerful, but that's what we were created here on this earth. That why God created us by him and for him was to share the love, the God's love to this dying world. We are the ones here. We are the instruments. We always talk about revival, but revival is not going to start unless it starts here. And then so revival got to begin in us, amen? And one way to get that is the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is going to empower us to be a witness. Because I never before could talk to people about God. It sounds kind of strange. I've been going to church for a while, and I can't talk about God to people. Because why? I was empowered to be a witness for him. But once I got the empowerment, now my wife, now she gets, well, she's not here. Sometimes she gets kind of perturbed because she says, you're talking too much. I don't think they want to leave her, but you keep on talking to her. So now it's a whole different story, you know. Because why? We just get so excited when you're sharing God's love to someone who may not have it. Or maybe you might be the last Jesus that they see. How important is that? Man, but he empowers us for witness. Amen. Another thing, I got just two more. He calls us to service. Service. And this is what he says in Acts chapter 30, verse 2 and 4. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, this kind of sounds like what we're doing right now, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. This is one of those few scriptures where the Holy Spirit is talking, like, while they were worshiping and fasting, I was thinking, wow, is he talking? So he said, set me apart, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have called them. So after that, after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And I think that's why when we have this prayer up here, it's such an intimate setting. Some people they lay hands on people and pray for people. That's kind of like what's going on here. You know, so I was telling myself, you know, as we are fasting and praying, all those who are fasting and praying, is the Holy Spirit speaking to you, showing you a Saul and a Barnabas that you can lay hands on, that you can speak life into. I was thinking, I better start looking for these Saul and Barnabas, because they're out there. They might even be in the church, amen? And they probably are in the church, amen? But he calls us for service. And I think that's why prayer is so important. Because that's our intimate time of communion with him. And that's where as we pray, to say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. Amen. And finally, the Holy Spirit transforms us into the image of Christ. I'm not saying that. This is what the word is. We're trying to, how can we be transformed into the image of Christ, someone who was sinless, who knew no sin? How can we be transformed? And that's why I think about, that's why Jesus is so important that I leave, because this person, this Holy Spirit, it is, you, when you read about the Holy Spirit, you know it's not a thing. It says he, him, it's a person. It's not just a vapor or just a mist, it's a person. The Holy Spirit is a he. He will. He will. You've got to remember that. It's that person. We may not see him, but he's in us, and we can feel him. Amen? So this is what it says, how we are transformed to the image of Christ. And this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And it says, so all of us, who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, is transforming us more and more like Jesus as we are changed into his glorious image. How important. I said, the first one was, do we know who God is? Now it's saying that the Holy Spirit can transform us to be like Christ, to take on his image. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for each and every one. You'd be thinking, oh, but how can that be? I know Pastor John was talking about when they went to Israel, how one of their guides says he can't believe that a holy God can dwell in a sinful body. But my Bible says otherwise, that he dwells in us. Amen. And that's why they struggle, God's people. They cannot see. They're still stuck back in the Old Testament. They still can't see a holy God coming, because God says that he had to turn away from sin. So if God turns away from sin, how can you dwell in a sinful person? But that's for a whole other message. But just know that this Holy Spirit begins to transform us into the image of Christ. And it's a journey. It's something that we're not going to get like that. It's a journey that we have. And that's why Jesus said, I cannot share all with this. There's too much to give you. Because why? It takes a whole lifetime for what Jesus wanted to try to have. But he didn't have that much time to share all these things. And that's why the Holy Spirit is so important. Because we have this whole lifetime here on this earth. And while we're here, when we allow that Holy Spirit in us to guide us, to instruct us, to lead us, that's what allows this journey here on earth to be more like Christ, to know our Father, to know his secrets. It's through the Holy Spirit. And that's why that title I have, this message, why the Holy Spirit in us is better than Jesus beside us. Amen. Can we all stand? You know, we can read our words backwards and forwards, but unless the Spirit of God is teaching us, guiding us, we're reading in vain. Amen. So today, I know I said earlier that I want to give an invitation. You know, if there's anyone here today who says, yes, I want that Holy Spirit. What do I need to do to get this Spirit, the Spirit that reveals to us God's secret, the Spirit that allows us to be Christ-like? So this morning, it's just a simple saying, yes, Lord, I want you as my Lord and Savior. So if this is you, as I pray, you pray with me. But Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord. If there's someone here today that is saying, yes, I want this Holy Spirit in me, to reside in me, to guide and teach me. Just repeat these words after me. Heavenly Father, I want you to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I repent from all my sins. I want this Holy Spirit to dwell in me and transform me. I just thank you that you sent your Son to die on the cross for me and was resurrected on the third day and now sits at your right hand. I thank you as you allow me to be a child of your family. I thank you in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If that's you that had said that for the first time, come see me after I close service, and I'll walk you through some important things. But I just thank you all for just listening to what the Spirit had for us today. and how important the Holy Spirit is in our lives. And without it, I shared a lot of knowledge, intellectual stuff today, a lot of things, but that's just going to be head knowledge. You need to begin to make it heart knowledge in your life, believing and trusting, knowing that the Holy Spirit will transform you and lead you to genuine spiritual experience and change your way of life. Amen. All because the Spirit is with you. Amen. I love you guys all. Those online, thank you for joining us. See you again, hopefully next week, face to face. And next week, Pastor Jacob is going to be giving another, even more important about the Spirit, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So don't miss it. I love you with the love of the Lord. God bless you guys.